Good morning. Yeah, it's wonderful to see you all here. We had a wonderful trip. I counted it a whole way of going there and back. It was like a little bit over 3,200 miles. So it was a little bit of traveling, but it was wonderful. Seeing some beautiful areas of the country we haven't been through for a while. It's been 3 years since we've been back to Canada, to where this is where Joy grew up, and that's where her parents are, and here's her brother still there, and there's nephews and nieces and cousins and stuff like that too, and friends, good friends there too. So it's great to go back to see them. The first day we went out was June 21st. I remember that because that's the longest day of the year. So we got out over to Bryan, Ohio, where we lived there for about 6 years. And we visited some friends, and Nolan got to see some friends, and so did Cam. And it was 97 degrees. It was so good to walk outside and just feel that heat just kind of toasting me. You know, I felt my skin just wrinkling. It just felt good. You know, so I was so happy. And then our friends that we saw later on in that day started two big bonfires, you know, for us, just to heat us up, you know, just keep us warm. So it was really good altogether. And then we kept on traveling there and got over to Canada to be with Joy's mom and dad, spend a lot of time with them, and really had a good time visiting with them and taking her mom around to a lot of firsts. You know what some of the firsts were? What was one of the firsts, Joy? Do you remember? What? There you go. Wait. Now,
store-bought,
because she is a seamstress and she was very good. All right, so she would do her own pants. So for that, if I tried that, you wouldn't want to see me. So that was one first. Another first was what?
McDonald's.
We took her to McDonald's. You know, the boys went with their granddad, you know, to McDonald's, and when we got back from somewhere and we heard that they went over there and they're eating ice cream, well, you know where my heart is. And so, you know, hey, Mom, let's go, you know, and we took it. She went there, so that was the first there. And the other one was a slushie.
Yeah, her first slushie.
First slushie. They have something like a Sheets there called Co-op, you know, so, you know, they had these, actually, I say top grade. It was very good, you know. So she had her first slushie, and was there one other? I forget.
There was one other, I guess.
I can't remember either. Maybe later we'll let you know if it comes to mind. So otherwise, visiting friends, family, it was just excellent trip, and the weather was really wonderful. It seems like we didn't even see a cloud hardly in the sky as we were traveling. Usually we're running into some type of weather, but going there and coming back, nothing. You know, just going through Chicago. That's the toughest thing you got to do, you know. But yeah, actually, that wasn't even that bad either. So just praise the Lord. Thank you for all your prayers. We do appreciate that, those who are praying and keeping us in your prayers during that time. And we were certainly thinking about you when we were over there, too, enjoying that area. We were staying on the farm where her brother took over the family farm there. And it's just a beautiful area, and all the hay and other things, canola and whatever else are growing in that area is just coming up. And it's just wonderful to be in that type of environment. So, yeah, now I come in here this morning. I just kind of a segue here, you know, getting back here, and I'm kind of going, oh, I got this and that. And, you know, trying to figure out what did I used to do, you know, and then I was looking for this thing. I was looking at this thing and I was going, okay, what did I do with it? Because it's been a while, because even before VBS, I put it away. And I looked in my bag and it wasn't there. I was going, oh. And I looked all around and go, oh, no. So when Sam and Bruce and I went and prayed together, and Sam gave a little prayer that find a clicker, well, you know what? It was right in the bottom of that thing. So we got that. So praise the Lord. God answers even those smallest things, doesn't he? Huh? That kind of goes along with what we're doing today. Question for you to think about. You can even throw out some answers. How would you build a great kingdom? You know, there's a lot of things out there, right? Video games and stuff like that. I don't know. There's probably games, you know, Monopoly was like building your own kingdom, right? You're trying to grab all the places, all the money, all that stuff for your, all the property had to be, you know, mine. Yes. I mean, guys, I mean, come on, young people. you know, building kingdoms, you know, this is all a clash of clans and whatever else they have out here too. I know they used to even have something I used to play called Heyday, you know, and you had a farm and you're trying to build all these, get as much money as you can, you know, to be successful, really. So what would you do if somebody says, you know, I'll give you whatever you want, how are you going to build a great kingdom? So what would you do? Huh? You need people. What kind of people?
Leadership.
Leadership. Yeah, what else?
People that make stuff.
What's that?
Craftsmen, people that make stuff.
Ooh, yes, okay. You gotta have craftsmen.
Hard workers.
Hard workers.
Soldiers.
Wow, why would you say that? Yes.
Property,
surely. If you're going to have a kingdom, you better have a place to add that kingdom, right? Anything else? I know you probably have a lot more instead of that, but...
Farmers,
yeah, because you need what? You need food. So you need a lot of different things if you're going to build a kingdom, right? And then, and especially when you're talking about people, you know, I remember what was Independence Day, the first one. You know, and when Will Smith was going in there, and you know, just at the beginning, he was with these other soldiers. You know, and they're figuring out who's going to be the person to be the next, I think Jay or whatever, the special guy, the special agent to hunt down these aliens, right? And at one part of it says, well, he asked this guy, well, why are you here? You know, stuff like that. And the guy says, well, we're the best. We're the best of the best of the best. You know, that's why we're here. You know, and so, you know, if I'm going to build a kingdom, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the best of the best of the best. I'm looking for the best of the best of the best craftsmen, soldiers, hard workers. I'm looking for the best. I think that's right. If you want to build a great kingdom, that's what I would do for sure. Well, I'm going to kind of, if this is, oh, you know what? Maybe if I turned it on. If I turned it on, didn't I have a problem with that before? Some of the, I think it was Easter, I was doing that. Well, you know, I'm just kind of throwing a little cog at you because it says, you know, I'm going, well, be the least you can be. Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? Hey, Jim, come on, be the least you can be, boy. Come on, man, you're the man. I mean, have you ever heard somebody say that? Oh, usually it's be the what? Best. Be the best you can be. And, you know, there's good things about that, all right, being the best you can be, because we are called to be worthy of the calling, right, and to follow God and to have a strong relationship with Him as a Christian, and really to be the best we can be. But sometimes we take it farther. You know, when we're building a kingdom, our focus starts becoming on that kingdom. We want the best. We want to be the best. And you start putting hours, more hours, and more time for you and what you're building. And you start forgetting about God and what He's building and how He builds. It's very different from how we build a great kingdom. So we're looking at that today. So let's pray before we continue on with this. Lord God, yes, it is good to be back, and it's good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ here on Mountaintop, Lord. And Lord, you have things for us. You have called us. It's not an accident. It is not just by chance that you have chosen each one of us here to be here in this place at this time. And Lord, as we get into your word today, Lord, help us to recognize these great things that you do in and through us, Lord, and even through the least, Lord, that you are the one who works through the little things to bring about great things. So open our hearts, Father, to your word, to your message, and may you receive all the glory and praise in it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Oh, by the way, you're looking at that. When you talk about the leaves, like, you know, birds, you know, they're really kind of, you know, there's millions of them, right? So they're just, yeah, they're pretty and stuff like that, and they chirp and whatever else, but they're not really, really thought as very important, right? And so when you think about the least, and we think about even like the eye is on the sparrow, God's eye is on the sparrow, some little bird. But he says, if I care for a little bird like that, then how much more will I care for you? How much more? And that's our God. So as we go in Luke and you kind of look at this, we have to remember what it's about, because going back to chapter 4, when Jesus, after his temptations in the desert, he came to Capernaum and to the synagogue, which was his custom. He went to synagogue every Saturday for them, and he would teach. And so he went to the synagogue here in Capernaum, and they gave him the scroll, and he read from the prophet Isaiah these prophetic words, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to do all these things, to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's his mission. That's that blueprint. That's the mission plan for the building of the kingdom of God. Right there. And he's saying, I'm setting. And all those eyes were upon him. And they're going, well. And they're just kind of waiting. And then he blew their minds. I can just think about, they've been waiting for hundreds of years to even hear a voice from God. And they are hearing a voice from John the Baptist. And then here comes this person that says, you know what? I'm the one that's going to fulfill these scriptures. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. That's pretty much what he's saying. I am your Messiah. And I got a feeling they were just going, whoa. And of course, they did not have a great reaction to that, because, it was something that was far beyond what they could, handle at that time. See, God does that. He pushes our buttons for a reason. He triggers us, as say some of the young people. Don't trigger me. God will trigger us, because he wants to see where our hearts are. And he wants us to know where our hearts are. So Jesus, as we read in the scripture here, he's in a synagogue, and this woman who's been crippled by satanic activity for 18 years came into the synagogue. And what did he do? Well, he's following the mission plan. What does he do here? He says, he sees her, first of all. He notices her. And if you don't think that was a divine appointment, it was. Because I got a feeling the synagogue leader there probably called up all of his friends, said, hey, come, Jesus is here. Come on. Best of the best of the best. He's just calling up all those rich people, powerful people, all those people that, back him up and stuff like that. He said, hey, come. Let's see what this guy's got to say. Maybe he'll do something for us. Maybe he'll do a trick for us or whatever. Or just have the honor of having this great rabbi, this great teacher being there. But then here comes this marginalized person. When you're crippled, people start thinking, well, what's wrong with you? You must be a bad sinner. Or if it's satanic activity, they're saying, well, you're Satan's spawn. That's what's happening with you. So she is marginalized. She is overlooked, ostracized from society. And yet, here she comes. God must have put it upon her heart to show up at the synagogue just as Jesus was there. And what did Jesus do? Overlook her? Go sit down, lady. I want to talk to these best of the best of the best. No? Jesus calls her. He sees her and he calls her. It says here, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. So he brought her up in front of everybody. I'm not sure if she wanted that. All right? But she went. She went to him. And then he spoke these healing words to her. He said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then not only did he speak it, but then he laid his hands on her. And that's something for a rabbi to touch a woman, especially somebody who is bent over, ostracized from society, most likely unclean, right, in their sight. And when Jesus placed his hands upon her, what happened? It says here, then he put his hands up on her, and immediately she straightened up. So she's like this, and immediately, she straightened up. And what did she do? "Oh, Jesus, you're the best!" No. What did she do? What did she do? She praised God. She knew where that power was coming from. See, Jesus was doing all these miracles, these signs and wonders right in view of everybody to call attention that, you know what? He's not doing it on his own. He's doing it by the authority and power from God the Father, the creator of the universe. He's doing that because God gave him the ability, the authority to do so. So people would know that he is actually the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, the one that came to save. Powerful, wonderful, a blessing upon blessings there. Calling this person out. His miracles showed who he was. And his teaching was all-inclusive. The good news was for everybody. For the big and the small, for every nation, who would come to him and open their hearts. His compassion was for all, for everyone. His healing went out. His touches, his words to bring healing to these people. And he loved them so much that he did not want one to perish. Right? That everyone, he wanted everyone to repent and believe in who he is. Wonderful. So he set about his business, setting this lady free. Oppressed for 18 years. And then all of a sudden, the kingdom of God just came upon her. The least of the least. The least of the least, the most unlikely person for him ever to choose, he chooses her. And the kingdom of God comes upon her. Oh, see, God builds kingdoms differently than what I would do. All right, I'm looking for the best of the best of the best. He's looking for the least. He's looking for those people who are humble of spirit. He's looking for those people who know they are sick and need help. He's looking for those sinners. He came for them to set them free, to give them life, to save them. You know, even in our weakness, you know, it says there in 2 Corinthians, it said, you know, in our weakness, that's where he shows his power. You know, going, "Oh man, I'm not very good at this." Oh, and we kind of get all deflated and maybe all frustrated and stuff like that. You know, we're a generation of self-help experts. You know, you know, if you can't do it, then what do? You take a class, you go and check out a book, or you go on Google and you start looking at it, right? You know, and you start, and we do that. We want to fix our own problems. And we leave God out of it. Look, Jesus is looking for one of those who's saying, "Help! Help me, Jesus! Help me. I know I need help. And I know that only you can help me." That is who he is choosing. He is not choosing the great people. If you look at all the people he chose around him, you know, even his disciples, what a motley crew they were. Choosing them, the least. The least. That's his kingdom building. He chooses those who are ready to receive what he has to give them. So the spotlight goes on, the least, right? The least takes the spotlight. And a lot of times, you know, the children in those days, even these days, you know, children thought, you know, okay. But even back then, they really didn't have much value at all. But for the least of these, for the least of these are the ones that come into the kingdom of God. You got to be like one of these to come into the kingdom of God. Even John the Baptist, he said, "Oh, this guy is greatest among all women who were born of women." Oh, everything. But you know what? The one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. See, he's looking for these hearts. He's looking for people who have open, humble hearts, knowing that we need help, that we are the least. And the spotlight comes upon. And many powerful things happen. See, he does this to put the wise, he puts the strong, the rich, to shame. This is God. You know, he says, you know, in his word several times, talking about, you know, he does things to make these great things, the wise things of this world, look foolish. Because to them, the cross is foolish. They're saying, "This is the only way, guys. You're the fools. Because with all your self-help and, you know, experts and all that stuff and looking at Google and trying to do everything yourself, you're gonna self-help yourself into a place you don't want to go. And that's hell." See, before this, remember the passage that we're in talking about, you know, you know, all these people, you know, these people were dying in certain situations, and he's saying, "Hey, you're gonna be like them unless you repent too." So he's really making it clear that he is seeking those who are not thinking of themselves as great and can do it all themselves. But he's looking for those who are looking for him, who are ready to receive this wonderful gift of Christ, their Savior, the one who will rescue them out of dominion of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. That's only Christ, by Christ alone. By Christ alone. That can be done. It's wonderful. So he exposes the hypocrisy. You know, when this happened, and you know what, the synagogue leader, what did he do? He should have been rejoicing, right? "Yo, Jesus, yeah, thank you. This is awesome." No, he's going, "Ugh. No, Jesus, no. Hey, if you guys want to be healed, there's 600 days. This is just not the right time, Jesus." And Jesus exposes their hypocrisy once again, saying, you know, "Get with it, God. Even you untie your donkey or colt or whatever and lead them water on the Sabbath day. And then you look at this woman who's been under the bondage of Satan for 18 years. Wouldn't it be great to free her and just rejoice with her? Well, yes. But the synagogue leader's going, no. Because I got my own agenda. I got my own kingdom I'm building. And you're pushing on it. You're triggering me, Jesus. And Jesus is going, oh, yeah. I'm triggering you. I'm pushing your buttons. Because I care about you too. Because, you know what? Even though all your opposition and stuff like that, it's not going to stand what I'm doing. It can't thwart what's being advanced by the power of God. It's a powerful thing that Jesus is doing. Seeking those who are lost. And then Jesus, as he exposes, and all and the people are going, oh, Jesus, that's a good one, man. And the synagogue leaders and probably other Pharisees are going, oh, he got us again. Can you see that? Can you see that? I can see it. You know, I could see that. Even like when my Dodgers lose, I'm like this. Ugh. You know, and other teams going, ugh. You know, I'm sitting there going, shut up. But, you know, Jesus catches their attention, right? And it's here just in my, and the word here says, then Jesus asked. Well, it's more than that, because he's really saying, hey, now that I got your attention, I got a couple questions for you. And what's the kingdom of God like? So he goes on, he teaches this. Because there's a reason why it comes right into this, right? Because he's talking about this mustard seed, that little seed that turns into something really, really big that even the birds can perch upon it. And when you really think about it, and you look at Daniel, I think it's Daniel 4, chapter 4, when he was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of that time of Babylon, and he had this dream. And he saw these, you know, this big tree, and he saw birds and stuff like that on it. Well, these birds represent other nations. And so really, when you break it down, what Jesus is saying, hey, guys, God's kingdom's going to advance. It's advancing powerfully, and it's going to advance throughout the world, and it's going to take it over. And all these nations are going to come to it, just like in read Revelation 7:9, right? Talking about all the nations, all the tongues, all the different people praising God for salvation in heaven. Well, that's what's happening. He's just given us a little foretaste of that. Saying God's kingdom is advancing powerfully throughout the world. Wonderful. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Even with your petty little indignation. Right? And then he goes on saying, well, okay, I got a feeling that he paused between that. And he probably let it kind of sink into their minds. Mustard seed, yeah. Birds, tree, oh yeah. What's he meaning there? And then after it settled a little bit, then he went on and says, well, I got something else for you, because the kingdom of God is also like yeast. Maybe they'll, especially those guys who like food like me, right? Now, you know, trees, birds, okay, cool. I like that. It's nice. But food, you talk food to me, then you catch me. You know, he says, hey, what about this? It's like yeast. It's like yeast that works through this big lump of dough. They're saying, in my Bible, it says 60 pounds of dough. That's pretty big. And a little bit of yeast in that. And they work it throughout the dough. So, you know, really, what he's saying is that, you know, this little bit. Oh, yeah, you can see it, and it's not really, you know, outside and stuff. That's not very impressive. But when you put it with the dough and you work it in it, you see the evidence. You see the evidence of that. Inside inherent power of God who works in the hearts of men and women who receive Him, receive that healing word, receive that blessing, receive His touch, receive his salvation with gladness by believing in him. And so that it just overflows. So the evidence is there. And we might not be able to see the yeast because it's inside. But the power of kingdom is working outside, expanding throughout the world, and it's also working inside each and every person who receives it. And it changes their lives. Changes their lives. We had pizza yesterday. It was like that. Well, it didn't overflow that much, so this time it's still pretty good, though. Still pretty good. So what does this have for us? I mean, you know, kind of, oh, this is great. This is great. This, I mean, it's interesting and stuff like that. Well, first of all, we need to put ourselves in that crippled lady's spot. If you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, put yourself in that crippled. You're crippled. You're crippled in spirit. You're crippled in spirit. Or maybe you're being, you know, like that one song, you're being tossed like a wave, an ocean, and you don't have any stability. You're kind of lost. You're grounding in God, and we're kind of drifting somewhere, doubting, just not quite understanding. Well, this is for you too. And it's for us who are wanting, desire to walk a deeper walk. Because what he's doing, he said, he's noticing us. Did you know that he notices you? He notices each one of us. He notices everybody in the world. He knows us. He knows people's hearts. And he calls us. Did you hear his call? Do you hear his call daily? That's what his word is about. Reading, getting the Bible out and start reading it. Hearing his voice. He'll call you. He'll call you in different ways. He might even call you to a different place or do a different thing. Or he might just call you to come where he'll speak healing words to you. To straighten you up. To bring that healing in your life, to straighten you up. Remember that one when I was talking about Jesus being that plumb line? You know, you use that to see if everything is straight. you know, sometimes we get all bent out. And we get, you know, but we get measured by that plumb line. And we're going, oops, what is going on here? Oh, I need to get straightened up. Christ alone straightens us up. His healing word, his power working in us. His grace alone, his mercies abounding. Straighten us up, and what do? Praise God. We should be praising God. Just like that other song was saying, you know, in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, we should be praising him. Praising him for all the good things and all he has done. And especially for what Christ has done for us on the cross, dying for us in our place, taking our sin upon himself. To save us, because we couldn't do it on our own. We were not good enough. So that's the first part. Another one is, you know, I always ask myself before I was even getting into the message, you know, maybe coming back from Canada thinking, and as I was listening to Alistair Begg, too, to see what he was saying about this part of the passage, he asked pretty much the same question. And I was going, whoa, how did I get here? How did I get here? And that's a question you can ask, too. Because when I look at myself, I said, I shouldn't have gotten here. Because I'm certainly not the best of the best of the best. All right, actually, I was that crippled woman. 29 years of bent over satanic activity in my life before God straightened me up. 29 years. I know, see me, nothing special. People wouldn't pick me to be on their team very often unless I was the only one left. Certainly wouldn't put me to be a part of a kingdom builder. How did I get here? by God's grace alone. His mercy, choosing the least, the most unlikely person to follow him. I didn't reach out to him. You know what he did? He did a Paul thing for me. I don't know about you, but Paul got knocked down. I got knocked down. I got knocked down before a TV set with a preacher, Freddie Price, who gave me a simple gospel message that tore me up. I don't cry very often. I cried that day because I knew that I was sick. I was crippled, and I needed a healer. I needed to get straightened up, and he did it from that point on, doing amazing things. I should not be here. I don't know about your story. You have a different story, I'm sure. But how did you get here? Because it's amazing. It's amazing. He chooses us, the least likely. Those who are downtrodden, sick, those who are overlooked, are marginalized, those who think we're all that, but then we finally get nailed by something and we go down. That's God's kingdom building. And that's why we can support, that's where the comfort, and that's where the wonderful fellowship comes in, because we've all have different experiences that we can, you know, one person might be going through something, and we can get behind that person. We can actually kind of understand a little bit and walk in their shoes a little bit and get behind that person in their time of grief or even their time of rejoicing. And lastly, go do the same, right? Go do the same, you know? Be Jesus. We are to be his imitators, right? We are following his example. So there are all these people around us in our families, in our schools, our classrooms, our co-workers, our neighborhoods, everywhere. There are crippled people. Most unlikely people to be chosen by God. Marginalized people. People that would never would think, how could God ever save that person? But we are not to judge, right? We are to see and call that person over. We are to speak words of healing in our lives that come from Jesus' words. And they even touch them out of compassion and power of Christ working through us, and watch them get straightened up. If you've never seen somebody get straightened up in Christ, it is a most beautiful thing in this world to see a life being transformed. You might not see it right away, but you can see as time goes on. When we go back, you know, we went back to Canada, 3 years it's been. So we were able to see things differently. They didn't see things the way we did, but we could see a lot of different things when we were there. But they couldn't notice those different things. We were to walk with them and see them praise God as God works his wonders there. Let's pray. Father God, you are awesome. And for homework for us all too, read Psalm 2, because this, Father, there's no one who can thwart your kingdom come and your will be done. It is coming, it is advancing all over this world. It is penetrating our hearts even now, and the hearts of other people who are starting to grow in you. And there's nothing, no Pharisee, no army, no other kingdom, not even Satan himself, can stop your kingdom from coming. So may we be humble. And may we receive this goodness. And may we go in the power of Christ to be a blessing to others, to be Christ to them, and hope that they will receive this great inheritance of everlasting life with you, just like we have. Not because we're greater, but Lord, may we have the attitude of being the least, putting others before us, making them better than us, because that's what you did for us. And that's what you're doing for us. So we praise you and thank you for this time together in your word, for reminders, for new things we're learning, for encouragement, for the challenge to go forth in this with this good news. Praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.